Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Right, I'm back. Reliving the War, episode 193. This is the first episode I've put together since coming back from Mania 40, so bear with me on this one. It's going to take me a minute to get back into the groove. Raw's in Lexington, Kentucky tonight, while Nitro takes place in Rockford, Illinois. And guys, this is quite the return episode of Reliving the War we've got this week. We've got wrestler returns, debuts, title matches, big storyline progressions on both shows. There's a lot to check out, but first, this week's jam-up guy is Steve Lamberg. Steve visited a miniatures convention in Illinois where he played Rumble Slam while rocking his pink jam shirt. But even more jammy is this picture right here. That, my friends, is a Master P brand of instant cup noodles that Steve said were actually less crap than rop. So thanks for the heads up, man, and I'll be sure to look out for Master P instant noodles the next time I go grocery shopping. Tonight on Nitro, Sting faces Ric Flair for control of WCW, so one of the company's main storylines could get turned upside down tonight on TNT. Tony Schiavone was put on backstage duties by Eric Bischoff, and in his place we have Scott Hudson calling the action. I don't mind Scott at all, but Tony Schiavone, to me, was always the voice of WCW Nitro, and it's just not the same without him. Scott says the Insane Clown Posse, Dennis Rodman, and Arliss are going to be in attendance tonight. For those who don't know, Arliss was an HBO show centered around a sports agency, and a few WCW wrestlers showed up on the program. This means WCW got Robert Wool to show up on Nitro, and he remains completely in character tonight. Big Sid walks down to the ring to cut a promo, the kind of stuff I live for right here. Sid says the fans can feel the anticipation he's feeling right now because everyone knows Hollywood Hogan has something that belongs to Sid Vicious, the World Heavyweight Championship belt. Sid says he's got a world title match tonight against Hulk Hogan. The fans can cheer for Hulk all they want, but it won't matter because Hogan's going to look at Sid later tonight and Hogan's going to say the magic words. And those magic words are, apparently, Sid is the master and ruler of the world. At this very moment, Hogan said his own magic words to Eric Bischoff backstage. Abraca, that doesn't work for me, brother. Fit Finlay took on Jerry Lynn with an F in the opening match, and Jimmy Hart taunted Finlay from outside the arena. Imagine having to check that giant piece of shit trophy onto an airplane. Finlay has to show up at Road Wild if he wants his trophy back, and I'd honestly tell Jimmy to keep it. Out comes Jerry Flynn, and this man has no right having theme music that's so awesome. And during the match, Jimmy Hart taunted Finlay from the parking lot, which is honestly the most Jimmy's done on Nitro in a very long time. Remember, he's been here since day one. Anyway, Finlay gets too distracted, so he rushes out of the ring to find Jimmy hiding underneath a bus. Finlay falls right into Jimmy's trap, and he gets attacked by the First Family, and Mr. Hart calls Fit an idiot as the boys deliver a beatdown. Backstage, JJ Dillon's looking over Lodi and Lenny Lane's contracts, and Dillon wants to know why these two thought they could get away with it. The boys say they're not the only ones in the company, and Dillon says he knows that, but these contracts have the incorrect names for both Lenny and Lodi. Harlem Heat don't sign contracts like this, the Wyndhams don't sign contracts like this, Dillon knows Lodi and Lenny Lane are brothers, but they have to sign their names correctly if they want to get rehired by WCW. Lodi and Lenny sigh with relief as they sign their new contracts while also asking for a pay rise. Dillon says there's a loud buzz in the room and he can't hear what the boys are asking him. World champion Wood from the Hood comes out for an interview with Mean Gene, and Hulk says Hollywood Mania is running wild. Hulk says he's turned his life around after the great reception he got last week and after winning the world belt. Hogan knows the big dogs are coming after him now and he has to expect challenges from WCW's biggest and best. So Hollywood welcomes this upcoming Sid Vicious match tonight on Nitro. After Hogan busts up Big Sid, he's aiming his guns at Road Wild and Kevin Nash. Their match is strictly business, but Hogan plans on beating Nash the same way he beat Sid in tonight's main event. The crowd absolutely love Hogan once again, and it does create an interesting dynamic, a dynamic that you just know WCW won't be able to take advantage of. Don't know! It's been way too long. Welcome back, Norman Smiley. Norman's got himself a match against Lodi and he starts off with a big Smiley slam. You love to see it. On the outside, Lodi gets tossed into the guardrail, but unfortunately, back in the ring, Smiley gets distracted by Lenny Lane trying to do the big wiggle. Norman gets choked out at the ropes. Lodi pulls off three consecutive suplexes. Norman falls victim to a big clothesline, and it's pretty weird seeing Lodi actually remain on offense for more than one or two moves. Smiley has enough after taking one more clothesline. He applies a grounded sleeper, and even though Lodi manages to hang in there, Norman ends up winning with a Mahistral cradle. Norman celebrates with a big wiggle, and Lodi and Lenny Lane decide to join in because, well, why not? Raw opens up with a corporate ministry promo this week. On Nitro, it's Sting versus Ric Flair for control of WCW. This week at Fully Loaded, the WWF presents a main event that could result in the end of an era. If Austin beats The Undertaker in the First Blood main event, then Vince McMahon must leave WWF. If Undertaker wins, then Austin will never get another shot at the WWF belt. Remember to come over this Sunday to check out the Fully Loaded video, and if you want to be super awesome, you can watch the video right now on my Patreon page. McMahon tells fans to take photos of Stone Cold tonight because it's going to be the last time Stone Cold ever gets seen holding the WWF Championship belt. Vince guarantees that The Undertaker is going to win this week at the pay-per-view, but Vince reminds the Deadman that it's not just the chairman's career on the line this Sunday, it's also The Undertaker's. Undertaker grabs the microphone, he says no one threatens the Prince of Darkness, and it was McMahon who made this deal in the first place with Austin, so really, this is all Vince McMahon's problem. The Undertaker has a personal issue with Stone Cold, not a business issue, and The Undertaker's gonna bust Austin open for his own gratification, not for Vince McMahon. When McMahon snaps back and when The Undertaker gets in Vince's face, Triple H tells the Phenom to back off. Taker tells Hunter he'll bust his head open the same way he's gonna bust Austin's head open at Fully Loaded, and Triple H wonders why Vince McMahon trusts The Undertaker to get the job done this week at the pay-per-view. Vince's whole life is on the line this week, and The Undertaker isn't showing much gratitude for the opportunity he's receiving. Triple H says he understands it was Vince McMahon who made Triple H, and Hunter proved he's a team player at King of the Ring. So, according to Triple H, Vince McMahon should remove Undertaker from the Fully Loaded main event, and Triple H should get a title opportunity at the pay-per-view. Vince thinks Hunter might be onto something. It's all about control, it's all about the corporation, and The Undertaker's mind is so screwed up that maybe the corporation can't trust the Deadman. Tonight on Raw, The Undertaker will face Triple H, and the winner faces Stone Cold in the Fully Loaded End of an Era match. The loser will face The Rock in a Fully Loaded Strap match. Either way, the corporation wins. Steve Austin then appears driving a Bloodmobile, a blood donation center on wheels. The crowd goes crazy as Austin gets on top of the vehicle, and Stone Cold says if Undertaker wants blood, then Austin's gonna throw the dead man in the Bloodmobile tonight on Raw, and Austin's gonna take a donation from Vince McMahon's skull. Austin means business tonight, and clearly Vince McMahon's in a lot of trouble. Eric Bischoff joins the commentary team for this high-stakes match over on Nitro, and the match begins with Charles Robinson taking a Scorpion Death Drop. The Stinger then picks Charles up and he throws him out of the ring, so Mickey J is going to officiate this match, and seeing as Flair's the current WCW president, I'm not sure why he's letting Sting get away with this. We start off with a press slam from the Icon, and we see a very delayed bump from Flair after Sting shoves him. Looks like Nate has been spending too much time with his son. Sting takes a thumb to the eye followed by a few chops in the corner, but he no-sells it, and we see press slam 2 from the Stinger. Flair begs for mercy, and he gets a chance to low blow his opponent. This gets followed up with another hard knife-edge chop. Sting replies with a clothesline, and when Flair tries to suplex Sting out to the floor, the Icon counters and the crowd goes crazy. A great audience in attendance tonight for Monday Nitro. Flair goes up and over the top turnbuckle, but on the outside, the Nature Boy gets the better of Sting. Flair celebrates a little too early though back in the ring, and once again the crowd goes nuts for the Stinger. Sting performs a superplex, Arn Anderson pulls the referee out of the ring, and Mickey J gets knocked out. Sting takes out Double A, but then Sid Vicious comes out to attack the Icon. When Sid throws Sting back inside the ropes, the Nature Boy gets in another low blow before applying the figure four. Sting's not out yet, he fires up and he manages to reverse the hold. When the two get up, Sting begins no-selling Flair's offense again, but he does go down following a back elbow, and then the Nature Boy goes upstairs. What goes up must come down. Sting lines up a stinger splash, but Flair pulls the referee in. Double A tries to interfere, but that doesn't work out too well. Asia also gets involved, but she gets taken out with a stinger splash. Sting then applies the Scorpion Deathlock to Flair, even though we have no referee. So Eric Bischoff gets inside the ring and Bischoff makes the call when Flair submits. Sting now controls WCW and Ric Flair's presidency has finally come to an end. Sid Vicious launches another attack after the bell. Bischoff takes a powerbomb, so Eric Bischoff's best bud Hollywood Hogan runs down to save the day. There you go then, one of WCW's main storylines has been completely altered, and now we'll see what Sting achieves while running this dumpster fire known as WCW. The Road Dogg scheduled to take on China next on Raw, plus we've got a Shane McMahon promo. On Nitro, Rick Steiner defends his TV title against Horace Hogan. The Road Dogg and China match was supposed to be a dog collar match, but it doesn't get started. Road Dogg says China and Triple H are into some kinky stuff, so putting the collar on shouldn't be a problem, but China tried to get in a cheap shot and she ends up getting whacked in the face. As Road Dogg tries to put the dog collar on, Billy Gunn runs down to attack his former partner, so the referee decides to throw the match out. It's a non-starter. Road Dogg gets choked out and X-Pac has to run down to make the save, so this is a score that's only going to get settled this week at Fully Loaded. Remember, we've got that upcoming tag team match where the winners will get the rights to the DX name. Backstage, Triple H is trying to sweeten up Vince McMahon a little, but there's a loud bang on the door and McMahon thinks it's Austin. Hunter and Shane approach the door and... oh yeah.
Have you ever had sex? I haven't felt great. It felt so good when I did it with my penis. A girl let me do it. It literally just happened. Having sex can make a nice man out the meanest. Oh, hey.
Shane and the posse make their way down to the ring and Shane wants to publicly apologize to his sister Stephanie. Remember, Steph took a back elbow from her brother last week on Raw. Backstage, Tess tries to stop Stephanie from coming out of the ring, but Steph's like, trust me bro, it'll be okay. So little Miss McMahon walks down to the ring and she's got a face like a slapped ass as Shane tries to apologize. Shane says it wasn't his fault. If Tess wasn't around, then Stephanie wouldn't have got her jaw smashed, but Shane has a way to fix all this and make everything okay. He tells Steph to forget about Tess and take back Big Joey Abs. Joey Abs and Steph were meant to be, so Stephanie should ditch that moron Tess and get back together with Jammy Joseph. Steph says, nah mate, she went on one date with Joey and it was a nightmare. Maybe Joey tried to slide a finger in the wrong hole or something, I don't know, but Steph wants nothing to do with this mean street hooligan.
He's an animal!
An animal! An animal!
Joey says Steph blew it on their first date. Exactly what she blew, again, I don't know, but I have a good idea. Joey's going to give Steph one more chance though, and Steph decides to slap this hunk of a man across the face while telling him to fuck right off. Stephanie leaves the ring and Shane says he'll stop at nothing for Stephanie's happiness. He's now going to do this the Shane McMahon way, and that means he's going to do it Main Street style. On Nitro, we've got Horace Hogan getting a TV title shot, and it's definitely not because Big Uncle Hulk's back on TV. No, it definitely has nothing to do with that at all. Unfortunately, this title opportunity gets squandered away when Big Sexy Kevin Nash interferes and he costs Horace the match while seemingly aligning himself with Rick Steiner. So this looks like a Kevin Nash heel turn we're seeing on Nitro. Remember, Hulk Hogan's back and Goldberg's also due to come back, so I'm guessing WCW felt the main event babyface roster was getting a little too bloated. Hogan comes down and he says Nash told him on the phone that their rivalry was strictly business and nothing personal. Kevin says, haha, I lied, and not only is this thing personal, it's real personal. Keeping up with all these changes in WCW is becoming a job in itself. I'm gonna need to start taking more notes. A four-team elimination match takes place next on Raw. On Nitro, Psychosis takes on Eddie Guerrero. Before the tag team match, we're shown footage of the SummerSlam press conference where Vince McMahon announced that Jesse Ventura is going to serve as the special referee for the SummerSlam main event. Jesse said Law & Order needs to return to WWF and it's Jesse's way or the highway when it comes to the SummerSlam title match. Back in the arena, we've got the Hardy Boys defending their tag team titles against Supply & Demand, the Acolytes, and Draws & Albert. Bros and Albert were the first team eliminated when Bradshaw pulled off a clothesline from hell. Val Venus then came in and the Acolytes got eliminated following a spinebuster from Venus and a shot with the Godfather's cane. Supply and Demand now have a real chance to win the tag team championships, and it looks good for the challengers after Godfather delivers the whole train to Matt Hardy. We then see the pimp drop, but when Val Venus goes up for the money shot, he gets pulled back down by the eliminated Bradshaw. This allows Jeff Hardy to pull off a top rope hurricanrana, and the Hardy Boys retain their tag team titles in one of the quickest four-way tag team matches I've ever seen. The Acolytes face the Hardy Boys and Michael Hayes at Fully Loaded, so they'll get another opportunity at the tag team titles later in the week. Following the match, GTV catches Ben Stiller and a few of his co-stars from Mystery Men, including Kel Mitchell, talking about the WWF. Mr. Stiller has a fascination with Deborah's puppies and his candid comments are caught on film. He notices the camera and the feed quickly gets shut off, and yeah, an interesting way to promote an upcoming movie. One of the more obvious but still underappreciated facts about WCW Cruiserweight matches is that 9 times out of 10, you're gonna see a clean finish. And at this point in time, clean finishes are getting less and less common across both Nitro and Raw. Psychosis wants revenge for all the Cruiserweights who were forced to remove their masks by Eddie Guerrero during Doug Dillinger's lineup, and as Eddie goes to work on his opponents, Scott Hudson reminds us that ICP and Dennis Rodman will be here on Nitro tonight. Eddie's on fire here with a head scissor takedown followed by a slingshot senton, but a clothesline puts Guerrero down and this gets followed up with a Psychosis monkey flip. Eddie gets shoved into the guardrail before Psychosis applies a grounded waistlock back inside the ring. Psychosis then takes to the skies with a spinning heel kick from the top rope. Guerrero falls victim to a top rope hurricane rana, but Psychosis doesn't go for the pin, and instead Eddie's able to perform an airplane neckbreaker that Scott Hudson calls the Gory Special 2000. It ends with a frog splash from Eddie Guerrero and Eddie wins the match, but he gets attacked after the bell by La Parca and Viano 5. Guerrero gets some unlikely help though from Rey Mysterio Jr. Rey clears the ring out and Eddie's a little surprised that Mysterio would help him. Remember, Rey didn't want to join Eddie's Latino World Order, but he was the only person who didn't want to sell out when Flair disbanded the group. The two shake hands, the crowd pops, and so begins a new alliance in WCW that would continue on for many years to come. Jeff Jarrett defends his Intercontinental belt against Christian next on Raw. On Nitro, Stevie Ray has a match with Chris Kenyon. Both matches had interference, unfortunately. Christian had Jeff beat, but Deborah stood on the apron and the referee was too busy looking at her big mama jammas. Christian got angry and he went to use Jarrett's guitar, but the ref takes it away and Christian falls victim to the stroke. Double J retains the IC title and he goes on to face Edge this week at Fully Loaded. Speaking of Edge, the lights go out in the arena and the Brood's theme music plays. The lights come back on and Jarrett's just had a bloodbath, but Edge walks out afterwards to prove that it wasn't him who just splashed Double J with that red liquid. Edge and Jarrett end up fighting on the entranceway, it gets broken up by officials, and after the brawl, both Edge and Christian look a little perplexed at what just happened. On Nitro, Stevie Ray was determined to take out these, and I quote, fruit booties known as the Jersey Triad, but he wanted his NWO teammates to watch his back. These boys said, aye, no problem, big lad. But when the Triad attacked Stevie during his match with Kenyon, the NWO were nowhere to be seen. Swear to God, the NWO have become a real bunch of unreliable, lazy bastards. Booker T ends up running down to help his brother, repaying the favour from last week. So clearly, it's time to put this NWO nonsense to rest and bring back Harlem Heat. The fans want it, I want it, WCW's tag division sure could do with a classic tag team returning to action. Just give us Harlem Heat already. Following the bout, Arliss is brought down to the commentary table to call the next match, and it sounds like an interesting one. Macho Man Randy Savage versus Billy Kidman. On Raw, we've got The Rock taking on badass Billy Gunn. Randy Savage reveals that he's running for president in the year 2000. We've heard this kind of shit before, and for some reason, I don't believe the Macho Man. Randy still has issues with Kevin Nash, and he's not happy about losing the world belt to Hogan last week, so he's gonna take it out on young Billy Kidman, who, according to Macho, isn't ready for the madness. Very fascinating stuff here, where we get to see one of WCW's best in-ring workers going up against an absolute legend of the business that, you gotta admit, has lost a step or two in the past year. Savage gains the early upper hand and he keeps things incredibly basic with kicks, punches and chokeholds, though things speed up when Kidman performs a head scissor takedown followed by a dropkick. This was just too much for Randy and the Macho Man takes an extended break on the outside. He even grabs a chair and he acts up a little around the commentary desk. It doesn't take long for Savage to get thrown back to the outside, where he decides to use Gorgeous George as a shield. This allows Miss Madness to hit a dropkick to Kidman's back and Billy takes a clothesline from the Macho Man. Kidman gets thrown on the announce table and Savage chokes his opponent out with a couple of Slim Jims. That's product placement done right, ladies and gents. Imagine getting choked out with a Slim Jim. Kidman tries to steal a victory, but he pays with a back elbow from Savage. Miss Madness then goes up for a dropkick, but she ends up hitting Savage, and this allows Kidman to perform a tornado bulldog, though Macho kicks out of the cover. Our match ends with Savage pulling off a pile driver. He then hits the diving elbow, but he breaks his own cover at two. He then takes out the referee before going up for another elbow drop, and after Macho hits his signature move one more time, Dennis Rodman makes his way down to the ring looking like a super fabulous pimp that crawled out of Shrek's swamp. Dennis whacks Savage with his handbag and the crowd goes nuts, to be fair. Artis then tries to scout Rodman, and it's Artis who announces a Macho Man versus Dennis Rodman match for the upcoming Road Wild pay-per-view. And Macho says this isn't basketball, Rodman should take his training bra off and fight the Macho Man right now. Medusa then comes out and it looks like she's siding with Dennis Rodman. She and Miss Madness end up having a brief scuffle, which gives Rodman a chance to leave the ring. And what I found noteworthy about this whole thing is that Dennis Rodman didn't say a single word, even though he had multiple microphones literally shoved in his face when asked questions. Anyway, Rodzilla's back in WCW, and clearly the company want to get another decent pay-per-view buy rate by using Dennis in a WCW ring. Will it work as well as it did back at Bash at the Beach 97 and 98? We're gonna find out soon enough. On Raw, The Rock says he heard Billy has a temperature, he's got a little rock fever, so Rock's going to take a thermometer, turn it sideways, and stick it up Billy's candy ass. Billy refuses Rock's kind offer and the two fight on the entranceway, and when the match gets inside the ring, Billy delivers a stinger splash. Rock fires back immediately with a clothesline, but he ends up taking a neckbreaker from BA. The People's Champ then gets choked out on the ropes, and even though he's able to hit another clothesline, Billy stays in control by launching his opponent out of the ring. It's all Billy Gunn here as China watches on. The Rock gets dropped on the guardrail, and back in the ring, Billy pulls off a jackhammer. Rock's comeback attempt gets stopped with a back elbow, and there's a chin lock right there. It's about time. Rock fights out and we see a Samoan drop from the Great One. The two then get to their feet, where Billy sails brilliantly for a few right hands. Billy then takes a stun gun, or a hot shot, whatever you prefer, and when Rock pulls off his float over DDT, China gets on the apron to stop the ref from counting. China gets knocked off the apron and Rock delivers the Rock Bottom. When Rock goes for the People's Elbow, China hits Rock with a steel chair, and this allows Billy Gunn to win the match via pinfall after delivering a Famouser. So Rock heads into the fully loaded strap match with a loss under his belt. He has no idea who his opponent's going to be, but one of his potential opponents, Triple H, is sitting in the back with Vince McMahon, and Helmsley is still buttering the chairman up. Al Snow vs. Boss Man takes place next on Raw, plus we've got Edge and D'Lo taking on Gangrel and Midian. On Nitro, it's a Conan vs. Vampiro rematch. Conan says he respects everyone trying to earn money in WCW and trying to prove themselves, but Vampiro took some liberties last week and Vampiro's a punk mark. So if Vampiro really wants to prove himself, he'll come out right now and face Conan again. Vamp walks down the ring, he gets smacked in the face, so Conan gets his receipt with a back suplex, a standing sidekick, and a spinning back kick. Vampiro stares on his opponent and we see a diving clothesline as Bobby Heenan talks about how much these guys don't like each other. We then see the K-Factor facebuster as Conan tries to build a comeback, and Vampiro then takes K-Dog's float over Bulldog. This is when the ICP hit the ring and they launch an attack on Conan. The crowd's a little confused at first, but it appears Violent J and Shaggy 2-Dope have formed an alliance with Vampiro. It doesn't really make sense, but it is interesting. Shaggy Two Dope hits a top rope leg drop as Raven shows up to watch the festivities. The last time we saw Raven, he was a babyface alongside Saturn and Kenyon. He was getting some excellent crowd responses, but it looks like he's also joining forces with Vampiro, and it now looks like we've got a new faction on our hands. Rey Mysterio runs down once again for the save, but he takes a powerbomb from Vampiro. Violent J then performs a moonsault before Mysterio gets planted with the nail in the coffin. And there you go, the WCW debut of the Deadpool. On Raw, Al Snow's in a bad way after Head received that railroad spike from Prince Albert last week. The voices in his head have gotten out of control and he's begging the commentary team to make it stop. He hasn't slept in days, he needs to get a break. So after Bossman makes his entrance, Al tells him to hit him as hard as he can and put him out of his misery. Bossman complies with Al's wishes and the referee calls for the bell. This wasn't scheduled to be a hardcore match. Snow then gets handcuffed to the ring ropes and Bossman continues attacking with his trusty nightstick. And after taking an absolute beating from Bossman, Al Snow actually looks happy that the voices have stopped for a little while. These two face each other again this week on pay-per-view and the Hardcore Championship will be up for grabs. Another match that takes place at Fully Loaded is D'Lo Brown versus Midian for the European Championship, and these two are also facing each other in this tag team match on Raw. D'Lo teams up with Edge, Midian teams up with Gangrel, even though Gangrel had issues with the Ministry of Darkness not too long ago. And what do you know, we get a clean no-nonsense match here with no interference. D'Lo wipes Gangrel out and when Edge gets tagged in, the funky vampire runs away to his corner. He then has a face on him as if to say, "Haha, not today, motherfucker." So Edge makes do with beating up Midian for a while. Midian turns it around with a clothesline but he misses a top rope attack, so D'Lo tags in and that's pretty much the end of the match. All four men fight in the ring and we see a unique spear when D'Lo catapults Edge into Gangrel. D'Lo then performs a sky high and a lowdown, and this short but entertaining match ends with D'Lo winning via pinfall. Steve Blackman vs. Test is our next match on Raw. On Nitro, Buff Bagwell pretends to be Ernest Miller. Blackman's being forced into a match at Fully Loaded where a bunch of rental cars playing Rap is Crap are going to form a circle, and inside that circle, Blackman has to fight Ken Shamrock. Steve's going to be at a terrible disadvantage, obviously, but if he can overcome these insurmountable odds, he'll evolve into his final form, Shin Blackman. Steve thinks it's worth the risk, seeing his country music will have no effect on him if he transcends at the pay-per-view. We see the Blackman torpedo followed by the spine-shattering backbreaker. Tess finds himself in a single-leg crab and evil Blackman hears Tess submit but he wants to continue the beatdown. A butterfly suplex gets answered with a clothesline from Tess, but a spinebuster absolutely wrecks Big Andy and Blackman tries to end it with a motherfuck elbow but he misses his target. Tess then performs a gut-wrench powerbomb followed by a big boot. The big man goes up for a top rope move but Blackman has it well scouted with a kick to the face, and just when Tess goes for the pump-handled slam, the Mean Street Posse run down to launch an attack. Blackman's cool with the Mean Street Posse because Real recognizes Real, so Big Stevie Cool stands back while Shane McMahon slaps Test around. Shamrock runs down for the save and the boys get out of the ring. Blackman is not messing around though as he pulls out a pair of commas in preparation of decapitating his old student. JR says the Iron Circle match is going to be non-sanctioned because WWF want nothing to do with the sheer violence we're going to see at the pay-per-view, and I don't blame them either. If Blackman ends up winning, it's going to be the end of the world as we know it. From this, the Buff Bagwell dressing up like Ernest Miller on Nitro to cut a promo, and yeah, everyone talks about the DX Nation parody while totally forgetting about this. To be fair, no one was really watching WCW at the time, but still. Buff's here with Nitro girl Shay and someone wearing a mask that's supposed to represent Sonny Ono. Bagwell acts like the cat when he says someone's gonna get whooped tonight. He issues an open challenge while saying his manager's called Sonny Ono while Shay's called Sonny Oh Yeah. He then says there's no place like my crib while clicking his ruby slippers together, and Bagwell doesn't notice Miller and Ono getting in the ring to shut him up once and for all. Buff fights back, but as always, it's the cat's loaded shoe that gets the job done for Miller. And Ernest says, Buff may look and sound like the cat, but he can't dance like the cat. We then see a moonwalk elbow drop from Ernest, and yeah, there you go. Riveting stuff from Monday Nitro. We've got tag team matches for our semi-main events. On Nitro, Saturn and Benoit take on Kurt Hennig and Barry Windham. On Raw, it's Kane and X-Pac versus Bob Holly in the Big Show. Both matches are quite important in shaping the short-term future of both companies in a way. X-Pac tells Kane to leave, he doesn't want him as a tag team partner, but Kane decides to walk around the ring to fight with the Big Show, and keep in mind that these two are also facing each other and Fully Loaded, with Bob Holly serving as the referee. Joe gets his head rammed into the ring post, and when Hardcore Holly goes out to fight Kane, the Undertaker shows up and X-Pac takes a chokeslam. Taker then goes out and he takes care of both Big Show and Bob Holly for his brother, and the referee throws the match out. The Brothers of Destruction have done what they needed to do. Kane stops in his tracks and he goes back to check on X-Pac. The Undertaker tells his little brother it's over and he needs to head to the back, but then a replay of Undertaker chokeslamming X-Pac shown on the Titantron, and Kane's not happy. When Kane realizes what his brother just did, he wraps his hand around Taker's neck and the crowd goes crazy for a chokeslam. The Big Red Machine then leaves the ring with X-Pac, so Kane's made his decision. He's not realigning with his brother after all, he's sticking with X-Pac. Pac gives Kane a hug on the rampway and the big man's like, easy there little fella. On Nitro, Benoit and Saturn were firmly in control during the early going, but Kendall Windham and Bobby D caused some problems on the outside. The West Texas Rednecks then took advantage when Chris got tossed out of the ring, and after a commercial break, Barry Windham delivered a big superplex to Benoit. Saturn then gets a hot tag and Perry goes to work on both of his opponents. When Kurt finds himself getting locked in the rings of Saturn, Kendall and Bobby jump in the ring. So it's another DQ this week on Reliving the War. Don't be surprised, because I'm certainly not. Dean Malenko runs down to help Saturn and Benoit. It's still a 4-on-3 advantage though, so Dean doesn't do much damage. But the fans get surprised when Shane Douglas makes his return to WCW after having quite a noteworthy run in ECW. And Shane's here to back up Benoit, Saturn, and Malenko. Shane clears the ring out, he grabs a microphone, he says all these people know how tough these three men are, and starting tonight things are going to change in WCW. Shane believes if someone holds you down, you bash their brains out with a stop sign and take your spot back. There's a cancer in WCW, it's time the cancer gets taken out, and these four men plan on taking the company back to where it rightfully belongs. The franchise has arrived at WCW. I think I'm one of the only few people who actually admit to liking Shane Douglas, so I'm pretty excited for his run in the company. The Nitro main event features Hollywood Hogan taking on Sid. On Raw, The Undertaker battles Triple H for the right to face Steve Austin at Fully Loaded. We can get through this Nitro main event pretty quickly because not a lot happens. Sid stays on the outside for quite some time before stepping inside the ring. He gets inside the ropes, he shoves Hogan, Hogan shoves Sid right back, and we're already halfway through this match, ladies and gents. I need to make it clear that fans in attendance don't really care. The draw is seeing Hogan and Sid inside the ring, so you can't really knock it. Sid chickens out of a test of strength and he decides to talk nonsense into Bobby Heenan's headset. Hogan takes some time to tie his boots up. Sid eventually gets in the ring and yay, physicality. Hulk takes a few kicks to his surgically repaired knee, and just when Sid thinks he has it all figured out, Hulk stops him in the corner. Look at those faces, what a pair of beautiful human beings. Hulk fights back, he goes up for a few mounted punches and a forehead bite. He feels the body slam Sid and the big man falls on Hogan, but Hulk kicks out at two before getting his chin rearranged by the master and ruler of the world. Sid utilizes the ring post to do more damage to Hogan's leg and knee, and back in the ring we see a cobra clutch from Big Sid Vicious. Hulk gets up, he gets put back down after a big boot to the face. Sid tries to end it with a leg drop, but Hogan dodges it and it's time to Hulk up, brother. Sid gets wrecked, we see a Hogan body slam, Hollywood signals for the leg drop, but big sexy Kevin Nash runs in and wow, a DQ finish in the Nitro main event. Sting then runs down to save Hollywood, Sid and Nash take Stinger splashes, Rick Steiner runs down to back up his new best bud Kevin Nash, and we see a 3-on-2 beatdown before Crush Him by Megadeth plays in the arena. Bill Goldberg is back, ladies and gents, and the crowd explodes as Billy Boy cleans house. Steiner takes a gorilla press slam before the heels get out of the ring, and Nitro ends with Goldberg, Sting, and Hogan standing tall in the ring. After everything Hogan did to both Sting and Goldberg, it's weird seeing him stand next to these guys, but that's how Nitro ends. The match wasn't good, but the crowd was on fire for the final moments of the show. Vince McMahon has a ringside seat for this Raw main event. Corporate ministry members Triple H and Undertaker going to war for the right to main event Fully Loaded. It all feels very last minute, doesn't it? I mean, the fact they played a commercial for Fully Loaded that advertised Taker versus Austin really doesn't help matters, but anyway, Taker stops Triple H's early attack with a clothesline, Vince gets a great view as Triple H gets annihilated at the ring apron, and McMahon's looking a little uneasy as the Undertaker goes to work on Hunter. Back in the ring, a poke to the eye forces Taker to drop Hunter from a chokehold. Helmsley lays the boots in when it goes to the corner. The dead man takes a back elbow, but once again, a clothesline catches Triple H out. Undertaker fails to capitalize and he misses an elbow drop. After getting thrown to the outside, the Phenom takes a forearm shot from China, and it looks like Vince McMahon's happy with how this is turning out. The chairman is definitely favoring Triple H tonight. Hunter destroys Taker on the outside, but in the ring, Hunter gets forced back with a hangman. He shakes it off and Undertaker gets hit with a Harley Race knee. And at that very moment, Stone Cold grabs a cameraman and he says it's time for Vince McMahon to donate a little blood. Back in the ring, Triple H takes a chokeslam, but just as Undertaker's going for a tombstone, Austin attacks the dead man and the referee calls for the bell. This means Undertaker wins via disqualification and Hunter's going to face The Rock at Fully Loaded. Speaking of The Rock, the Great One shows up and he and Triple H end up fighting through the audience. Austin and Undertaker travel through the crowd at the other side of the arena and they end up fighting beside the Bloodmobile. In the end, Austin's able to lock Undertaker in the vehicle and that means Vince is all alone at ringside. So Stone Cold marches back down to confront Vince. McMahon gets punched in the head before Austin lines up a belt shot. The shot makes Vince bleed, so Austin delivered on his promise from earlier on. McMahon then gets knocked off his wheelchair just as Paul Bearer frees the Undertaker from the Bloodmobile, and when Taker gets back in the ring, he smashes a beer can into Austin's head. Undertaker then makes Stone Cold bleed and he dumps Austin's lifeless body beside Vince McMahon. The dead man then grabs the Smoking Skull belt, and Raw goes off the air with the Undertaker holding the championship high in the air. Tough choice this week. I like the Shane Douglas return on WCW, the Deadpool stuff looks like it could be interesting, and the crowd was electric for the Nitro main event. Raw had a decent go-home show that would definitely entice viewers to buy Fully Loaded, and we're starting to see Triple H becoming more of a focus on WWF programming. And also, I thought The Rock's match and the main event were pretty good. If I had to choose one over the other though, I'd go with Raw this week because, if I'm honest with myself, there were a lot of fillers on Nitro while there's nothing you'd really skip on the WWF side. Even the Raw undercard matches were pretty decent. Raw hits a landmark 100 points this week while Nitro remains on 73. In the TV ratings, Raw jumped up to a 6.3 while Nitro dropped down to a 3.3. Fully Loaded 99 is the next video in the Reliving the War timeline. China and Billy Gunn take on X-Pac and Road Dogg for the right to call themselves D-Generation X. The Rock takes on Triple H in a strap match. And we'll witness the end of an era when Steve Austin faces The Undertaker in a First Blood match. As mentioned, the video is already available on Patreon, so if you want to support me, the channel, and this whole journey reliving the Monday Night War, then check out the tiers available over on my Patreon page. And if you prefer to wait it out, I'll see you this Sunday when Fully Loaded goes live on YouTube. Thanks for watching another episode, everyone. It's good to be back, and please take care.